Change can be difficult. That happened at 8 o'clock, too. I must have stumbled onto something. While change can hold possibility of new life, of things improving, it can also be very difficult. In fact, there can be times when we know that we need to do things differently, that we need to embrace new ways of being. But the old and the familiar can have great hold on us. We can cling onto how things are, though they may not be best for us. And the familiar can feel safer, more certain, than entering into a new reality. We can sometimes choose even unhealthy or maybe destructive or dangerous situations, and we choose to remain in them knowing that the future could be really difficult, that leaving those behind would be very challenging, though we know that it would be better for us. That future that we can barely imagine may seem just out of reach, too elusive, too hard to grasp. In today's gospel, Luke shares a very dramatic story of transformation, of healing, and of liberation. And apart from the man to whom it happens, the rest who witness this are left afraid. And they don't want to embrace this new reality, and they ask Jesus to leave. This account of the Gerasene demoniac has great drama, has great story. I could imagine it being a movie scene. A man is possessed by many demons, demons who are called legion, they tell Jesus. He doesn't wear clothes, he lives in the tombs, he lives near pigs, and he is kept under guard, bound with chains. And at times he breaks free, casts off those chains, and he flees to the wilderness. And so Jesus goes to the opposite side, Luke tells us, encounters this man, and he commands the demons to leave him and sends the demons into a large herd of swine. And the swine rush down the steep bank and are drowned in the sea. The swine are destroyed, and according to first century belief, so would the demons be destroyed, for it was believed that water was one of those elements that had power over demons and could destroy them as well. So the demons are gone, and the man is restored to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Now, it's likely no surprise that the swine herds are not happy. The death of that herd has cost them their livelihood. There are economic consequences for them in this action. And so they're not able to celebrate with the man, and they are seized with great fear, and they ask Jesus to leave. But it's not just the swineherds. The swineherds go and tell far and wide what Jesus has done, and all those who hear it in that region want Jesus to go. They are seized with fear, Luke tells us. They can't accept the healing and the liberation that Jesus has offered. They can't give thanks for this man who now is clothed and conversing. They just want Jesus to get out. They can't accept the great work he has done, his power over demons, the healing that the man has experienced. They can't accept God's salvific act in his life. And so they want Jesus to leave and to leave them to the life they have. They are not looking to be transformed. Now, the man who has been healed, who has experienced this dramatic transformation, asks to follow Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I think the point of the gospel is to follow Jesus. So it was surprising to be reminded that Jesus says no to this man. One of the few times that Jesus does that. Instead, he tells the man to return home and declare how much God has done for you. And so, in Luke, this healed man, this Gentile who has had demons cast out, becomes the first missionary, sent forth to proclaim the action of God to all that he has witnessed and experienced. Jesus tells him to tell all how his life has been transformed. And so he becomes a Gentile missionary, going forth to spread the good news of Jesus. Now, today's gospel includes elements that, if you're like me, seem puzzling and strange. And perhaps the most puzzling, aside from possession of many demons, is the herd of swine. and the demon sent into them so they can rush down into the sea. Various commentators wrestle with that and what does it mean, but one I read yesterday offered the most insight. It's by Ched Myers, who is a community organizer and a scholar of Mark, and he offers some really helpful insight and interpretation. This parable we have this morning was largely lifted by Luke from Mark. And so Ched Myers applies what he knows about Mark in interpreting this story. And he sees this story as not just a story of healing and transformation, but also a story of liberation from Roman occupation. He points out that the Decapolis, where this happens, is the center of Roman power on the very eastern edge of the Roman Empire. And in this region, many veterans live. They've received land there as payment for their service as soldiers, lands that have been conquered by the Roman army. The man is from the city. He is a refugee, and he is alienated from that Roman city life. He is also profoundly unclean according to Jewish law. He does many things that make him so. He doesn't wear clothes. He lives among the dead. He lives with pigs. And then Legion, the name that the demons give to Jesus, saying, "We are Legion." Legion is a Latin term for a division of Roman soldiers. And there were four based in that region during this time. And then interestingly, the mascot of one of those legions was a boar, a swine, a pig. Its image appears on coins. Also, we can see in the original Greek, if you look at the verbs that explain the movement of the pigs, they're verbs in Greek that refer specifically to the movement of troops associated with the Roman army. And then finally, that legion of pigs drowned in the sea has echoes of liberation that we hear in the event at the Red Sea, when God frees the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and destroys the Egyptian army in the waters of the Red Sea. That herd of swine going into the sea foreshadows the destruction of the Roman legion. So Myers suggests that this man is alienated. He is oppressed by the Roman occupation of that region, that it has destroyed his heart, his mind, and his body, and that Jesus comes to liberate him from everything that oppresses him, to bring him freedom, to bring him wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Myers also observes that those witnessing this can't accept God's liberation. They can't let go of the system they know. Though it's oppressive, they know it. They understand how it works. They feel safer there than in a future they don't know. They know that God's liberation has a cost. For them, economic, maybe even fear of Roman retaliation. But even if things go well, the cost will be a world that they don't yet know, that they can't imagine. And so they shrink back in fear. As followers of Jesus, we are called to not shrink back in fear. And in fact, we are called to put on the very identity of Jesus, to become new creations through baptism, that we might be people who fight oppression, who embrace the new freedom given us in Christ. We hear this theme in today's epistle from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, where Paul reminds us that through baptism, we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ's identity. Through baptism, we are called to be the presence of Jesus in the world. And it is through the waters of baptism that the boundaries of oppression are torn down. Paul says in today's reading, "There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female." Those divisions of who is one of us and who is not are gone. The divisions of insider-outsider, of slave and free, those power inequities are cast off. In Jesus, even the divisions of male and female, which in first century life are fraught with power dynamics, where those who are female have much less power, not that it's all perfect in our day, mind you, but those divisions are cast aside. In Jesus, all are welcome. All are invited, all are brought to life restored, and all are called to challenge the assumptions of the society in which they live, including us. For the reality is that our world is far from this image of Paul. It's far from the freedom and the healing and the transformative power that heals the man in today's gospel. Our world is increasingly a more violent and dangerous place. It is a place divided by power, by insider and outsider, by fear of other. It was just 1 week ago this morning that 49 LGBT folks, many of whom were Latino, were dancing at Pulse in Orlando, where, while enjoying a night together, they were gunned down. The gunman also lost his life, and 53 others were wounded. On this morning, many are in mourning and grieving. Many are suffering and recovering from their wounds. Many bear the challenge of being the survivors and of having lost people they loved. And on this morning, a morning in which we celebrate Pride here in Providence, the LGBT community mourns and knows new fear. For in LGBT life, those dance clubs have been a place of sanctuary. Decades before our beloved Episcopal Church welcomed the LGBT community, clubs were places of safety. They were communities of support, places where we could be who we were called to be, where all were welcome, places of inclusion and safety. And this morning, this world seems a bit less safe for those of us who are LGBT. The advances in rights and equality have been celebrated, but they've also been met by violent backlash. Liberation and acceptance, you see, are not always welcome. They're not always met with rejoicing. Some cling in fear to the past, unable to accept the changes that come, unable to accept the changes that come with dismantling oppression. And so I believe this morning our nation needs people of faith like you and me more than ever, those who are called to live lives rooted in the baptismal call of Paul, to live in that reality where all boundaries of hate, where all oppression is torn down, where all who are forced to live among the tombs, chained to death, are set free. We are called, like the man healed in today's gospel, to accept the liberating healing of Jesus, setting us free from all that separates us from God, neighbor, and self, from all that enslaves us. And then we are called to go forth and to tell all that God has done for us, and to work for the justice that God desires for all humanity. I don't pretend this is easy. In fact, it will be difficult. And it will require us to challenge the accepted wisdom of our age, to fight all boundaries of hate and exclusion, boundaries which seem to be growing wider and stronger, to oppose violence at every turn, and to do that hard work of forgiving our enemies and those who wish us harm, and to fight all oppressive structures and practices, including economically and politically, to bring all people to that kingdom of God vision of life that Jesus has in store for us and desires for all of us. Through the power of the love of God, a love that liberates the oppressed, this nation can be transformed. And so this day I hope and pray that we will always be a community of love and welcome, a community that stands up in the face of oppression, a community that witnesses to the powerful love of God that sets all free, to a God who brings wholeness of body, mind, and spirit to all who will accept it, and that we might be agents of that freeing love of God in this community. For just as Jesus says to the man in today's gospel, so he says to you and to me, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Amen.